Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie Uncensored. We have officially moved to Patreon. Here's a sneak peek of Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie.
Oh my gosh, you guys. So I was watching Instagram this week, as you know I do, and I was on David Liebenson's feed, and he dropped the juiciest little video. You should follow him if you're not on Instagram. It was so good. I'm going to play it for you. Listen to this.
Well, it turns out several federal agencies have interest in Kim Kardashian and Kris Jenner's criminal behavior. That's as much as I can say about that part for now. But they don't have as much power as you guys may think. They committed fraud, swindle, and colluded with the CEO of a publicly traded social platform. Kim, you guys have my email if you want to add some digits onto that last joke of an offer and quit playing.
So when I saw this, a few of you guys were like, Dana, you've been talking about David forever. Get him on the show. Let's see what's happening with him. What is going on with all of this? You know, have him retell the story that happened with Kim Kardashian again. And let's see what's been going on, you know, in the way that we do, right? And also, you guys mentioned that I know so much about Kim Kardashian's kind of secrets, or maybe they're not secrets, but, you know, scandals. That I should probably make sure David knows about them, right? Poor David Liebenson, who got screwed over by the Kardashians back in 2014. But I don't want to ruin it if you haven't heard the story. So let me go ahead and pick a sound effect for David, and then I'm going to bring him into the show.
Yes.
I don't want to be in your video game.
I got it. You're not going to be in it.
It's just lame to not do me a favor. And I'm not going to be bending over backwards if I feel like people aren't going to do me favors.
Hi, David.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Better than you are with all this crap going on in your with Kim Kardashian and Kris Jenner Kardashian or whatever she calls herself now. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are? I actually opened up your original lawsuit. I've got it like in front of me so I can refer to it. Filed on February 12, 2019. It's David Liebenson, plaintiff versus Kim Kardashian West and Kim's a Princess Inc. I can't believe she called her company that. So lame.
Like, gross me out the door.
Really? Anyway, it's a complaint for breach of partnership agreement, breach of fiduciary duty, unjust enrichment, and fraud. And, you know, so why don't you tell us a little bit about the story, and I'll interject some things that I found out as we go.
Okay. So thanks for having me on. First of all, I appreciate it.
I love having you on. I'm going to just ask you to keep sharing all your great insight, because honestly, I learned so much from watching your feed, really.
For sure. I will definitely not stop. That's a promise.
Good.
So it all started with an app that myself, my cousin Dan, and our mutual friend Narayan had started, named Sensogram. And it was an app to automatically remove unwanted comments, spam, hate, you know, cyberbullying on Instagram. We were developing it for all platforms. We had a provisional patent filed on this intellectual property, so on and so forth. We were developing it definitely for all platforms, but it was already working, functional on the app stores and being used by thousands. Kim Kardashian and her family were using this app to monitor and remove comments from their social media feeds. As we all know, that's something that they need. And so, anyway, she had her friend Jonathan Cheban, or Cheban, however you pronounce his last name.
Jonathan Cheban. Bring him in.
Oh, yeah. Everything's Food God, not just reservations. My whole entire life is literally Food God. It's a brand. I went to court. I changed my name.
I heard
it's that. The real thing. Yeah, it's real.
Reach out to me through Instagram, direct messages. And
I loved how you guys called him her assistant in the lawsuit.
Honestly, I forgot that they even named him that.
Yeah, no, it was such a drag because it's
what was he? What is he? I mean,
I mean, he calls himself the food god and like,
well, now, but then like, what was he? Basically?
I don't know. Like her friend.
Yeah, exactly. He just talked to her friend.
Her friend that was like using his relationship, you know, with her to try to like make some money on the side, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and it turned into food god. Good for him.
Yeah. So go ahead. But Jonathan reached out. Yeah.
Yeah, so he reached out and they were pretty aggressive. He was saying, you know, they were asking about like who had majority percentages and wanting basically a majority percent and their involvement. And you know, we were talking with multiple different people at the time, you know, because this was a pretty big thing that we were working on, and it was pretty easy to market because it was a problem solver. There was a need for it, so I kind of blew him off. And then I actually, at that time, if I was over a conversation, like Instagram was pretty new, so I would delete messages on there. So I removed his thread because I was, you know, we weren't going to be able to move forward with that. As no matter how excited we were, you know, that we were reached out to by the Kardashian camp, the whole situation just wasn't right at the time.
They were
Well,
trying to
several weeks.
like ask you for too much. Wasn't that,
Yeah,
yeah,
basically,
based on the lawsuit? I'm looking, I just to remind you, because I'm sure you're like, oh God, it's been a while.
okay, thank you. We blew him off at the time, and then a couple weeks later, he reached back out, and since that thread was gone on direct messages, he commented directly on one of our pictures in our feed, saying, "Hey, you know, why did you delete me? You know, we need to talk." Blah blah blah. And then we got back in direct messages, and he's like, "Kim's game's doing, you know, several hundred million, and you know, I put all that stuff up on my website, KimKardashianRuinedMyLife.com." And you know, you may have seen that part, all the screenshots.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so we went ahead and took the meeting, you know, with a phone call at first. So he set it up for Kim to call me the next day. Kim called me the next day. Myself and my cousin were on the phone call, Dan. I just because this was like something that was very exciting for my household, my teenage daughters were super excited about the situation. They didn't really look up to Kim necessarily, but they were like, you know, big on, you know, Kylie and Kendall at the time. And so they were excited. You know, we were a little reluctant because of like the potential of it not going right with somebody like them. But once we, meaning like socialites and not really having like a clear business of their own where they, you know, like what do they do? Like we were still trying to figure that out.
How
So,
they fit into the business model that you guys had
yeah.
done, because you had built the technology, you had designed it, you had the tech, you had the IP, and
Exactly.
yeah, and so you're like, what is the celebrity bringing to the table? It, you know, is she bringing money to fund it? Is she promoting it? Like, how does, you know, is
Exactly.
introductions, what are we doing here?
But then, so we ended up getting on that phone call, and you know, she sold it to us, you know, why she should be involved. You know, she, and this was all recorded. I recorded it because of the excitement. You know, this wasn't anything that I was thinking maliciously. I was just like, you know, actually, my cousin pulled his phone out and recorded it because we were just like, hey, you know, we're about to talk with Kim Kardashian. Let's record this so at least the girls, my teenage daughters, could hear the conversation and be excited about it. It wasn't anything bad. Well, anyways, and it was totally legal, by the way. Our attorneys told us because we were in Oklahoma. She called us in Oklahoma, and she was on vacation in Mexico.
Yeah, she was actually
Yeah.
with Joe Francis.
Exactly. Yep.
She
Yep.
was at his house with Joe Francis when
In
you guys
Mexico.
talked. Yeah,
Yep.
which is very
Yep.
telling.
Yeah, right. So anyways, we had that conversation, and you know, like I said, it was, you can hear it. And it's where she's like, you know, I really want to help and do something about cyberbullying. You know, she feared for her sisters and the hate and stuff that they've got on social media and her own daughter and et cetera, et cetera. And then she went on to say that she wanted to use Centigram and our logo for the foundation, for an anti-cyberbullying foundation. So, you know, we were like, hey, you know, this is an opportunity with somebody with tons of influence. She said her whole family would get behind it. Her mom was, you know, they were gonna secure funding from a family friend. So like we were sold on this being easy, tons of influence. This whole family is turning a new leaf and they want to help and do something positive. So we're like, let's go, let's do this.
Did you guys
But we
sign an NDA with them?
not at that point, there was no paperwork signed.
Okay.
Because not until we got to the actual in-person meeting, which was a few weeks later in Calabasas or Pendant
Okay.
Hills. Yeah.
And let me just read this one thing really quick because I think it's good.
That lawsuit misses all the trade secrets, misappropriations, and all the Instagram stuff, which was I was pretty upset about. So that's the only thing about that lawsuit, if it's 1,000% accurate or not.
you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to get them on there. Look, we all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like.
Bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I got like, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Okay, so it says from January to June 2014, Lieben sent along with Mr. Shankar and Mr. Rice. Shankar is Ryan, who will become important soon.
Correct.
Grew the App Social LLC by creating applications that would enhance a user's social media experience. They developed an application called Sensorgram, later changed to Sensor Out, to protect social media users' accounts from bullying, spammers, and trolls on Instagram. It allowed the account holder to filter and automatically delete unwanted comments and hashtags and ban unwanted users. The account holder could easily filter any single username, hashtag, or word or phrase to be removed from their profile on any post, and provided push notifications or emails to alert the account holder that comments were removed. Separately, in early 2014, App Social LLC also began to develop Wall Street emojis, as well as provocative, sexy emoji content. You should have done it, Dana Jojoji.
There you go.
Anyway, Sensorgram caught Kardashian West's attention on June 18, 2014. Kardashian West's friend and social media assistant, he's a social media assistant, Jonathan Chabon, contacted App Social LLC via Instagram Messenger, stating that Kardashian West was interested in the application and wanted to discuss her potential investment. Mr. Chabon proposed an 80-20 divide in profits. Liebenson and the other two members were not interested in such a wildly inequitable split, because what comes out of that is that 80% was probably going to her, right?
Exactly.
However, they were again contacted and informed of Kardashian West's interest in partnering with them. The parties scheduled a telephone conference for July 15, 2014. This is the Mexican call that she's at Joe Francis doing in her bikini. All right. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine the bad advice he gave her. Okay, just saying, off the side, like probably high, probably drunk. Anyway, on July 15, 2014, Kardashian West called Liebenson and Mr. Rice in Oklahoma. Boom. Thus the recording. They discussed their vision for the application, how Kardashian West could help them get to the next level of exposure, how Kardashian West had been using the application and her love of the application. During this meeting, Kardashian West admitted that she had discussed anti-bullying features to be implemented in Instagram with Instagram CEO. This is key because we don't know. Did she sell this to Instagram later? Could be.
Exactly.
But that Instagram was unwilling to implement a one-size-fits-all solution, she claims, okay, to bullying, and preferred to handle comments on a case-by-case basis, which was not to Kardashian West's liking. Following many emails back and forth, the parties agreed upon July 28, 2014 as the date they would meet in person in Calabasas, California. Take it away, David. So you're now going to Kris Jenner's house. Go ahead.
Yes. So we go to Kris Jenner's house in Calabasas or Hidden Hills, and we have a discussion about Sensorgram and basically just catch up on everything we've already discussed on the phone. Kris, she brings up the funding again, and we come up with a 60-40 agreement, 60% us, 40% them for Sensorgram, and that they would be responsible for the initial funding.
And in the lawsuit, the funding is actually stated. On July 28, 2014, after meeting at Kris Jenner's home, too much Botox in my upper lip, they agreed that the partnership division would be 60% to Liebenson, Mr. Shankar, and Mr. Rice, and 40% to Kardashian West. App Social would contribute its skill, intellectual property, and ideas relating to Censorgram, and the emoji content in Kardashian West would raise $660,000 for capital contributions. Wow, that is such small change for them. They should have just, you know, written the check, which is where it gets fishy, right? Isn't that fishy? That they
but are they as liquid check? As they come off, though?
I mean, I would say that they don't use their own money. Their attitude is exactly. that they don't risk their own money, which is always risky to anyone because it means they don't have skin in the game, really, you know?
Mm-hmm. And they don't have to. They what they bring to the table, they just look at it like they don't, you know, they'll just put the pieces together and orchestrate it. Like
yeah.
Project managers.
Their picture's worth like $1 million on their Instagram. So they're like, I bring yeah. one picture, it's $1 million. So yeah, that's mm-hmm. so scary. Okay, so then what happens at the meeting? What's Chris's house like? What?
well, we were offered Fiji water. I have a picture of us sitting at the meeting, Kim and Chris pointing at the laptop in excitement because I'm about to explain Kimoji. Kimoji came into the equation at that time in the meeting where we agreed to do the Censorgram deal. But hey, check this out. We showed on our App Social laptop, we showed the mock-up emojis of Kim. And, you know, we basically just took our Wall Street emojis and sexy emoji projects and we merged them together and named it Kimoji. Just as like a, you know, icing on the cake. We didn't know if they would be into it or not because, you know, we're doing this serious app project that like, you know, anti-cyberbullying. And then, so we just thought 50-50 they would want to do it. But they were super into it, obviously. And we decided to do 50-50, 50% them, 50% us on Kimoji, also, you know, Censorgram.
So at this point, you get very excited about your access to Kim Kardashian and you kind of start showing them more ideas to get them more and more interested because you guys think this is a big opportunity for you.
Well, we laid it out there. We, you know, they had signed our NDA for our intellectual property, for our provisional patent file for Censorgram. And, you know, we were going to build out the entity together and, you know, trademark the future Kimoji stuff together and all that, you know. So we felt pretty secure. You know, I had an email from Chris saying they were going to net contracts. And, you know, we had our verbal agreement with a room full of people, you know, despite what people think. You can't get contracts that same day. It just doesn't work that way. You know,
no, of course not.
No. So there's a lot of people in my comments saying, oh, you never walk out of a room without a contract. It's your fault. They just don't know what the hell they're talking about, honestly.
No. Yeah. That's
not how it goes. I'm glad I got to clarify that. But, you know, so that's just the way that all went.
What was your feeling about Kris Kardashian? Was she serious in the meeting? Was she likable? What was your takeaway after meeting her?
You know, there was a few stages, you know, to that. At first, super nice. She called me separately from everything privately and would ask me questions about like, where did I make my money? And she just asked me other specific questions about Instagram and things like that. And, you know, during that time, I was just thinking she was nice and they were nice because Kim was very nice on the call. Chris was nice on our call. All of our exchanges through, you know, emails and text messages were, you know, everything was nice. You know, they were being really cool. So I was thinking nice all around, you know. Then at the meeting, once we signed their NDA and they had signed ours, it's like, you know, everything, something changed. Her demeanor changed. She was like business Chris.
And what's business sense. Chris like? She bitchy?
More serious. Like... yeah, you know, I guess I can't say enough transpired for me to say bitchy, but definitely more serious.
Okay, so she's
but
not.
I could say the other part now, though, for sure. Yeah. But at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kim, what did Kim, did Kim come off knowledgeable, intelligent? Did she come off as just sitting there? Like, what was the thoughts on that?
Honestly, she came off like fake now that I look back on the whole thing, definitely fake because everybody could hear that conversation, you know, that was pretty bullshit. Basically, baited us and then used her fake excitement for something and the positivity of it, you know, because she obviously leaned right into Kimoji being the most important thing and never promoted anything related to anything, removing comments, because she didn't want people, if it wasn't for fighting cyberbullying, she didn't want people to think she was behind something removing comments, because that made her look bad.
So let me ask you a question. Let's move on to how they dupe you guys. Okay. Because it's coming. And it is unbelievably obvious, not obviously to you guys at the time, especially in this environment with these kind of sharky people. But go ahead and tell everybody what happened.
It's so blatantly fake. So she's really nice. You know, like I said, everything's cool. Chris's demeanor changed a little bit after we signed paperwork at the meeting. But after the fact, other than one communication and maybe a few texts in between with them, but mostly their lawyer, he reached out before I get to the actual her scamming us for the trademark. I'll get to that juicy part. But first, her attorney, one of their attorneys, reached out and said, you know, that we should talk to an A-list celebrity coach or somebody that would like help us navigating the world of Hollywood and dealing with A-list celebrities, so that way we handle ourselves right, more or less, like, so we're not like too starstruck or something. But I have this recorded, by the way.
Oh my god, you have to send me this. Can you send me this a little snip, because it's so awesome.
Yeah,
room to grow with it a little bit.
Yeah, right, it has to be. Yeah. Right, so what I recommend is, again, Kim is excited about this. I mean, to quote her, she said this is a kick-ass project. You know, I mean, she is excited about it. Chris is excited about it, you know.
So you could kind of already tell that they would rather probably go around us if they can, just based on that vibe. That's kind of hindsight. That's where I'm thinking I should have realized that more. Anyways, a few weeks go by from that, and Kim calls out of the blue. First, their assistant calls and says, hey, Kim's about to call, so we could be prepared for, you know, Princess Kim's phone call. So we get Kim's phone call, and she's like, hey, guys, you know, I'm really stoked. We're doing both projects. Everything's good. We have funding. You know, my mom's got funding through our family friend, blah, 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 blah. It's a great conversation. Then at the end of that conversation, she says, hey, by the way, guys, did you trademark Kimoji yet? Like, all nonchalantly. And we said, no, we haven't trademarked it yet, because that was the one thing that we didn't, because her name was partially, like, her image was partially attached to that part of the project. We didn't want to trademark that under App Social, because we just didn't feel right about that. So we were just waiting for the new entity and to do the trademark together under our new entity. So we didn't. We told her, no, we didn't. Well, we actually looked it up, and you could see the date and when they trademarked that. I think even the time when that trademark was filed, and it was when she hung up the phone, her team, her lawyers filed the trademark for Kimoji. Then 5 minutes later, she calls us back all distraught, saying, who's Ryan and why is he sending my private information all over Chicago and, you know, acting all concerned and hurt about her privacy? And
but what was that he sent? Like, what was it?
It was a private text message to a friend of his that he had a business dealings with before, and that was she was obsessed with Kim Kardashian. So Narayan, I don't know, to brag and kind of rub it in her face, sent a braggadocious text message to, or maybe a series of them, to her saying, hey, we're partnering with your dream girl. And so, you know, things like that. And it was supposed to have been private. It wasn't anything like he was trying to use her, you know, name for monetary gain. But myself and the other co-founder, Dan, we didn't know that this was happening. So we were super confused when the whole thing happened and she, you know, blew up and was wondering who sent messages. We were wondering, like, what the hell messages are you even talking about? And we reached out to their team and we're trying to figure out what was going on. What we didn't realize, though, was this message was sent by this Alice lady, who is, you know, mutual friends with a group of friends with Jonathan Chevin. Chabon.
Whatever.
And yeah, whatever.
No wonder we call him Food God. Yeah.
yeah, right. So she sent this to Food God, and he had sent it already to Kardashian, who had basically had known, we think, and there's proof, we think that there's enough proof of this to show that it was before we even went to Calabasas, because Narayan had sent this, Narayan, aka Narayan, had sent this message to Alice bragging before we even finalized the deal. This was the first time, from what we've understood now, is that it was after our first turning them down when they asked for too much, he bragged about that. And then that is what they used to basically screw our whole deal and threaten to sue us each for $5 million or turn everything over to them.
Well, what is the defamation part of that? I'm trying to understand.
There wasn't any. There wasn't any. And
that, like, it, what was Marty Singer's grounds for saying that you defamed Kim Kardashian or even disclosed?
They were trying to make it seem like we disseminated her private information all over Chicago. But what it was a private message that other people then turned around and sent to others in an attempt to mess our deal up. And years later, at a boat party in Chicago, one of Narayan's friends that owns a car lot up there, he was at a party, and this mutual friend that sent this very message, he said, hey, you know, this guy came up to me and admitted to sending that message on purpose. And this was used against you guys intentionally to mess this deal up and for Kim to use it against you. And he admitted.
I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, that part's obvious, but I'm just trying to, like, even in a ruse, let's say, you have to have some legitimacy to hang your hat on. And it sounds like, to me, Marty Singer had no legitimacy
because it was Yeah, exactly. We thought sorry to cut you off, but we thought we did wrong. And that was the whole thing. Like, they were, I don't know if it's considered gaslighting or what, but they were making us feel like we had messed up so bad and our lives were about to be over if we didn't turn all this stuff over because Narayan, you know, sent a bragging text message. And then
they set you up because they started off by planting the seed of the A-list consultant.
Exactly.
That would help you know how to interact with celebrities better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they maybe have this text message waiting, like you said, and they do these meetings with you to do like fact finding. So maybe no intention of ever doing a deal, just trying to get intel from you and what you've done.
That's what our attorneys thought, that, you know, and that's what they accused them of in one of our, you know, legal documents that I didn't release, basically accusing them of baiting us and keeping that in her pocket, you know, so to speak, to be able to, you know, find out our patent file. Like, do I need these guys? Can I go right to Instagram and do this? Like, this is so much bigger of a scandal than people even realize, because the ex-CEO of a now publicly traded company colluded with Kim on our IP that I was an American trying to file a U.S. patent, trying to protect ourselves. And, you know, I had everything lined up to do this right. And then this socialite, along with this ex-CEO of a publicly traded company, comes along and screws our whole thing up. And they're all looking through all of our private stuff, going through our patent file, discussing our information, you know, trade secrets, misappropriations, all these violations, all the stuff going on.
So let me just go back to the lawsuit. It says, on August 14, 2014, Kardashian West called Mr. Shanker and asked if Liebenson, Mr. Shanker, or Mr. Rice had filed the Kimoji trademark application. Mr. Shanker informed her that they had not, and Kardashian West insisted that her team would file the application. Again, she insisted there was no need for them to bear the cost. In reliance on Kardashian West's confirmation of the partnership, it was agreed that Kardashian West would take care of the Kimoji trademark application. Quick question, David, did they actually give you the name of this A-talent consultant, or did they just throw it out like you should talk to somebody?
They threw it out there, and that was basically the end of that.
So they didn't give you a name?
No.
Okay, because I've never heard of an A-talent consultant person ever.
Not me either.
I just want you to know. No, but I've been in the entertainment industry since I was 18 years old.
Okay.
All right. And I used to handle people like Hayden Christensen. I would, you know, I used to handle at events, people like Keanu Reeves. Never had a talent consulting training, whatever the hell that is that they threw out at you. Just saying.
So that was a line of bullshit.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell they're even talking about that. It makes no sense. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. On August 14, 2014, Kardashian West filed the first trademark application for Kimoji, identifying sole owner as her corporation, Kim's a Princess, Inc.
Oh, as if.
17. Okay. Subsequently, on August 14, 2014, after filing the Kimoji trademark application, Kardashian West called Mr. Shanker again. This time, she demanded to know who Ryan was, despite calling Mr. Shank and Ryan unprompted in her July 22nd, 2014 email correspondence. Kardashian West claimed that she just became aware of a screenshot originating from Ryan that contained personal information about Kardashian West's use of censor out and accused Mr. Shanker of disseminating a screenshot to all of Chicago, in quotes. This accusation was confusing to Liebenson, Mr. Shanker, and Mr. Rice. Their frustration grew as the members did not understand what happened or why. Kardashian West's attorney Todd Wilson later explained that Kardashian West received screenshots from Mr. Shanker's acquaintance, allegedly originating from Mr. Shanker. Kardashian West used this as an excuse to cancel the partnership. So again, Mr. Shanker is Ryan or Narayan. The acquaintance is this chick named Alice, and the food god was the one who was like the broker of these screenshots, allegedly to Kim Kardashian, between Alice and as the social media assistant.
And there's the guy that came forward and admitted to being the one to send this message to Jonathan, because he was actually the one that was friends with Gene. He actually came forward, and I'm sure if needed, he would speak up.
So a gentleman by the name of Gene, you run into in a party, or tell me that story about Gene again.
A friend of Narayan's, a businessman from Chicago. He, I guess, was in a circle with this guy, Gene. And Gene came to him and said, hey, you know, your buddy with that Sensogram app, and I was going to be partners with Kim Kardashian. I was the one that sent that message to Jonathan, and they used it. So whatever back and forth communication that they had, Gene would know. And I was hoping to get to the stage where we could bring him in and have him deposed, as to what happened. But we never made it that far.
And you don't even know the date that Ryan sent the text, do you?
It not the exact date. He does. He has that information. But I think he was so embarrassed by the whole thing happening. And, Ryan, he's kind of an introverted guy. And I think he may, and I'm not trying to embarrass him, but he may have had a thing for Alice at one point. Like he may be swayed pretty easily by a woman is what I should say, I guess.
Most and, men.
He.
It's like a spy movie.
Yeah. But he has more information on the exact, details on all that. But it was before we actually went out there, because the context of this message wouldn't have been in regards to our final meeting, because he wouldn't have wanted to mess that up. And that was why, like, Ryan, he emailed, called, messaged. I don't know how many times he reached out. He probably, he freaked out after the whole thing, after Kim got upset and they threatened us. Because he obviously was confused and wanted to understand, what he did was being used against him now, because we didn't do anything to break any kind of privacy or NDA or anything like that after our agreements.
Well, this is how the lawsuit reads. The following day, on August 15, 2014, Kardashian West, through attorney Martin Singer Esquire, Martin Singer, good old Marty, sent Liebenson, Mr. Shanker, and Mr. Rice a letter stating that they caused Kardashian emotional distress. Because I know it's so hard to be so famous and rich. It hurts. And defamation in excess of $5 million. Kardashian West also sent a settlement agreement and a mutual release. Of course she did. Whereby Kardashian West would release Libenson, Mr. Shanker, and Mr. Rice from the $5 million potential lawsuit if they walked away from any future development of the Kimojis. Did she mention Censorgram in that or just Kimojis?
It was Censorgram. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't bring that part up, but it's I could send this to you. It's worded where Kim has the right to do her own comment control, social media comment control, IP of her own. It doesn't say that we can't, but they knew that we had a patent filed and that we were working on this as a proprietary, you know, process. And, you know, her having the right to do her own and do whatever she wants with it is more or less, you know, interfering with it.
This is soul-crushing shit because, I mean, mm-hmm. any entrepreneur who started a tech startup knows that if someone with a lot more money than you comes along and does the idea, you're screwed. Like, you might as well just jump off a cliff if you're that committed to the idea. I'm glad you didn't.
But everything that I put money-wise into that, you know, was basically lost at that point. You know, everything that I'd spent on legal and patent attorneys and stuff like that.
Oh, David,
we had hired the patent attorney that actually got the process for the mortgage process approved, patented. So we had a really heavy hitting patent attorney and, you know, to get this done for us.
All right, David. So there's a settlement agreement sent by Marty Singer. Now, I heard rumors that your signature was like forged on it. Like, what the hell happened with the settlement agreement and what exactly did it say?
So the settlement agreement was basically, we won't sue you each for $5 million if you give us the full rights to Kimoji and for Kim to have her own comment control process, even though we were filing patents on it. So I didn't sign this. I was confused. This whole thing just threw me off. And but our attorney was breathing down our backs, wanting us to sign it because we were being threatened by Marty Singer, the Bulldog. Dan and Orion, you know, we all felt like we did something wrong. But again, I didn't want to sign it. But Dan felt strongly, Orion felt strongly we needed to move on. And move on with our other possibilities with Censorgram, whether we can patent it or not. So Dan went ahead and signed he just scribbled my signature in there and they turned it back in with no notary. Mind you, Marty Singer didn't even make sure that there was a notary. So he messed up on that part. But they turned it in half-assed and Kardashian's team felt like that was good enough for them to move forward. And that's what happened.
I'm going to tell you what the lawsuit says, and then I want you to tell me what you think happened after that, what Kim did, okay? So here's what the lawsuit says. Kardashian filed Kimoji trademarks for, quote, cases for mobile phones, serial number, blah, 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 bathing suits, body suits, bottoms, flip-flops, footwear, headwear, shorts, sweatshirts, t-shirts, tops, undergarments, and retail store services featuring gifts, apparel, apparel accessories, cases for mobile phones, makeup bags, stickers, wrapping paper, ornamental novelty pins, jewelry, and lighters. She also filed a Kimoji mark for fragrances and so on. So it gives you an idea of all the e-commerce, or at this time, you know, I guess general commerce. I don't know if it was, you know, 2014, what was happening. But this was, you know, to show you the kind of businesses she was going to do with all of this. So besides that, what do you think she did? You know, I know you can't know for sure, obviously, but what do you speculate she did with this settlement agreement product-wise? What do you think happened?
Product-wise?
Yeah. Like, do you think that she tried to get Mark Zuckerberg on board with Censorgram? Do you think that she created a video game? Did she do emojis on her? How'd she sell her emojis? Were they stickers? Like, bring me into that.
She did all of the above. I speculate regarding Censorgram. She discussed with Kevin Systrom, because she talks about this, and I, you know, part of it's on that recording. Where, you know, they say they're not going to be doing anything like Censorgram. So she just kind of got away from it. Or like, I don't understand the Censorgram part because they said they didn't want anything to do with that part of, you know, how they remove comments. But then a year and a half later, they actually had it in their settings. It's part of their settings to this day. So how she was a part of that and whether she sold it to them or I don't understand how she was involved or brokered that deal. But that was, that to me was the heavy hitter. And then shortly after that, that's when Kamoji dropped and supposedly, you know, broke the App Store. Kanye rapped in his song Facts about, you know, Kamoji breaking the App Store, making $1 million a minute. So they dropped Perfume. There's still Perfume, I believe, with a Kamoji trademark sold to this day. So they did everything. They did clothing, all of the above, everything you listed. I'm pretty sure they did with the Kamoji trademark.
And so it does seem very strange that Instagram would introduce a setting that pretty much mimicked what you were doing and gave to Kim, knowing that she's one of the biggest influencers on the platform. So she has, like, you know, all the big players at Meta on speed dial. And then in addition to that, she's hugely important to them because these platforms require big players like her to be on them in order for them to be popular and used.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very strange that this happened, for sure. Did you hand over code to her?
So there was a small amount of code and, like, our overall process for our app in the patent file. I have, you know, I have all this too, the, you know, them signing their signature on our NDA and then this patent file. It wasn't all of our code, but it was the amount of code that was necessary for the application and the initial process for the patent, for the provisional patent process.
So they did have code. They just didn't have a digital format, but they had the coding as part of the trademark.
They had enough to know how everything worked, because that's what we needed to provide for the U.S. Patent Office. And that's what we had sent them. And we never in a million years would have thought that they would use that against us somehow or talk about that with other people after signing our NDA. And, you know, especially of all people, the CEO of Instagram.
So at this moment in time, I'm going to take a break from David's interview because I went back and listened to the entire voice recording of Kim Kardashian and him back from 2014 when he recorded it in the initial phone call meeting. And I wanted to see, you know, based on his testimony, what she says. And I think you're going to find this very interesting and also very supportive to what David is saying happened. For the full scoop, join the Dishing Drama Dana Patreon. The link is in this audio description. It's only $6 a month and you'll get the best information and tea about the things you care about and even the things you don't know you care about. What are you waiting for?